Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church, Boston. Aletheia exists to bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. For more information, visit aletheia.org.
I am really excited to begin this new teaching series with you called Chasing the Wind. This is going to be a journey in the book of Ecclesiastes as we listen to the wisdom of the teacher of Ecclesiastes, or in Hebrew, the word Kohelet. And so if you have a Bible, I want you to open it to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to read chapter 1 verses 1 through 18. We're going to pray, and by faith, God is going to speak to us from this really strange and wonderful book. Let's read. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams go, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things yet to come among those who come after. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also but a striving after the wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help me preach these words faithfully and unpack the message of Kohelet in such a way that my hearers, wherever they may be right now, would be blessed and God would understand more fully and more faithfully what it means to have wisdom and how we are to follow you, even when it seems as though there's a glitch in the system. Help us, God. We love you. Amen. I very vividly remember asking Pastor Jim LaFoon, my spiritual father and my wife's spiritual father, sitting down with him and his wife and observing like that they had a great marriage and a great family and asking like, hey, well, what were some tips like in raising your kids? And I remember Miss Kathy, his wife, spoke up and said, read your children the book of Proverbs over and over again. Just read it to them. Like, the book of Proverbs is really important. It teaches them how to live. It teaches them the way the world works. Like just get them in the book of Proverbs. And so we did. We taught them the book of Proverbs, and we've read the book of Proverbs, and I've had them read the book of Proverbs, and I read the book of Proverbs more. And I think that that's good advice. Children definitely need to read the book of Proverbs, and adults who are unwise, or adults who are just starting out in Christianity, or maybe adults who have been at this a long time but are just foolish, we need the book of Proverbs. But you raise a child on the book of Proverbs. The book of Ecclesiastes is what an adult needs to know. Because the book of Ecclesiastes is in argumentation, or at least in conversation with the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is this wonderful book whereby we learn how God made the world. And our hostess is Lady Wisdom. Well, it's a conversation between a father and a son, and the father saying to the son, "Son, pursue wisdom. Wed yourself to Lady Wisdom." And the book of Proverbs is largely about how the world works by wisdom, that if you do these things, you're going to get these results. And most of the time, that's true. But the book of Proverbs is full of proverbs, not promises. The book of Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's young or older, he won't depart from it. And that's true, generally, except from time to time when it's not. The book of Proverbs says, by diligence and hard work, that the ant stores up treasure for herself. So be like the ants. And that's true most of the time, except for those who've worked really hard and stored something up and then maybe lost everything in the stock market. See, the book of Proverbs is about how the system works. But the book of Ecclesiastes, that's about the glitch in the system. The book of Proverbs says, this is the way things always go. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, yeah, except when they don't go that way. So what I want to do is invite you in to this amazing book called the Book of Ecclesiastes, or Qohelet, and hear what Qohelet has to say to us. Hear what this individual, this royal wisdom, has for us when wisdom's ways aren't seeming to work exactly. So, with that as an intro, let's dive into the text. Now, as I said, we want to raise young Christians and raise our kids on the book of Proverbs. But in adolescence, kids start to go, why? Well, and generally, you know, kind of have an attitude because they're beginning to discover that the world isn't exactly like the way mom and dad said. They're starting to see the fact that mom and dad are actually humans. It's a very frustrating time to be a parent when your children discover that you're not the superhero that they kind of thought you were. And that the world is a little bit more broken and jagged in its edges than you wish it were. But the book of Proverbs tells us how the world works. And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us about how to process the glitch in the system. So what is the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, the book of Ecclesiastes is set up as a download from this person called the teacher or the gatherer. It's this very difficult, almost untranslatable word in Hebrew called Qohelet. And Qohelet is the word that some translations will translate teacher. So that's the main character of the book of Proverbs. But it's not the book of Ecclesiastes rather. But it's not the only character in Ecclesiasties. There's Qohelet, and then there's the person basically hosting the lecture. You see, in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 1:1, and then all the way at the end, we get words from the person introducing Qohelet to us and summarizing his teaching and giving us the final word. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is the word of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. And then we get quotes. Vanity of vanities. And Qohelet begins to speak to us. But there's two voices here. There's Qohelet and the one introducing him to us. Now, some say that that's, you know, not the case, that it's all one long diatribe, but I don't really like that, and most commentators don't. So, who is Qohelet? Well, some say it's Solomon, and of course, you can imagine why. This is the traditional answer, that Solomon wrote this book, and you can see in verse 1, it's the preacher, a son of David, king in Jerusalem. It kind of narrows it down to only a certain few, and then at the very end, it says that it's a king who, in verse 12, we get the king who's been king over Jerusalem, and in verse 13, this is a king who's applied his heart to seek and search out wisdom. Like, that sounds like one particular king, the king known for being wise, King Solomon. And traditionally, that has been held. Like, yeah, maybe, and it very well could be that Solomon wrote this book. I would love to believe that, and I would love for that to be the case. However, there's some strong arguments to suggest that maybe this is the collected sayings of a royal figure, or that maybe it's a later king, another son of David. Who it is less important than the message itself. But what we do know is that this is a message, and that this is collected sayings and a perspective given to us from the royal lineage of King David to answer some of our deepest, darkest, and most important questions, like, how do we still trust God when it seems like we did the right thing and we didn't get what we wanted? How do we trust God? How do we act rightly when everything seems like vapor and it's chasing after the wind? So the main message is actually right there. You see, this glitch in the system that we observe is one that Qohelet observes before us. He says this in verse 2, "Vanity of vanities," says Qohelet, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." So let's dial in on that word vanity, because depending on what translation of the Bible you're reading out of, you might get the word meaningless, or you might get the word vapor. So the word behind the word vanity is the word hevel, and it just means smoke. Or vapor, like a cloud. You look at a cloud up in the sky, and when you're a kid, you think, man, I want to get up there and just like lay down on it. Or if you are flying in a plane, clouds look very substantial. But if you were to actually be in a cloud that's just fog, you find that it's disorienting. And you can grab all you want, but this thing that you're grabbing after is not a thing that's really there. It's insubstantial. And so this word hevel is the word that's repeated. It's repeated 38 times in this short book, and it's one of the main ideas that Qohelet wishes to communicate to us, that the glitch in the system that we're observing and that he's finding is that even though God made the world by his wisdom, vis-a-vis Book of Proverbs, there's a glitch, and the glitch seems to be that no matter what we do, it's all hevel. No matter how hard we work, no matter how much money we have, no matter how much we enjoy the pleasures of the body or food we eat, no matter how many experiences we have, in the end, we die. And then what? In fact, I can imagine that if Qohelet had been having this conversation today in 2020, and he were aware of like cosmology and redshift and the expansion of the universe, he might even say, you know, hevel, all is vanity, because in the end, the universe expands on into forever until it dies an entropic heat death, and the very molecules that make up stars and planets and you and me are further apart than the sun is from the earth. And it's cold. And it's meaningless. And if that's the future we're all headed toward, why are we even trying? It all seems absurd. There's a nihilistic flavor to this first part of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, for those of you who don't know, the word nihilism comes from the Latin word nihi. It just means nothing. So it's the idea, it's the ism of nothing. It's absurdity. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you felt like even in this like COVID-19 global pandemic, you know, you're trying to keep your routine up. Maybe you're trying to make the money, or you're trying to be a good husband, or you're be a good wife, or be a good mother and father. And at some point, you're just kind of throwing your hands up going like, man, what's the point? If you've ever been there, welcome to the book of Ecclesiastes. And welcome to Qohelet's wisdom for the cynic and the skeptical and the confused. Because what we're going to see here is, yes, there is a glitch in the system. So we've got to get beyond the system. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Dive into the text. You see, in chapter 1, verse 1, we read the introduction from the one hosting the book of Ecclesiastes. And then in verse 2, all the way to the end of, almost the end of chapter 12, we get Qohelet's words himself. And we learn that he is this royal figure, perhaps Solomon or someone else, giving us his perspective on this hevel that the world and that life seems to be characterized by. Perhaps you can think of a situation like this. Let's say you are a young millennial, and you've done everything you were supposed to do. You got great grades, you went to school, you got into the program that you'd hoped for. You took out student loans because you were told that that was a good idea. And then you got out and you found that real estate was way more expensive than you thought it was going to be, that now you're saddled with student loan debt and your degree doesn't give you the right to walk into some high-paying job that was going to give you like meaning and purpose, even though that's everything you were told. You did everything right and it didn't work out. Maybe you've experienced the hevel of life because you're a parent and you read all the books and you were very fastidious about what little Johnny ate, and you drove little Johnny to soccer and to baseball and to Sunday school, and you did all of the things, and now little Johnny looks like he's wandered away from you and from Jesus and making little Johnny dumb choices. Hevel. Maybe you were really diligent to save money and you put it in that stock, and COVID-19 happened and the economy tanked. And now you have no money. Hevel. Maybe you trained for a long time to open that business, and you raised all the capital, and you did everything that you were supposed to do, and you crossed every T and dotted every I. And now, because we're not allowed to go to work, you might have to close it. Hevel. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 11 is just a meditation. It's a poem about this, a poem about vanity, about absurdity, about hevel. He says, look, a generation comes and a generation goes. The winds blow and they keep blowing and blowing and blowing and they never stop and they never start. They just keep happening. He says in verse 7, all the water runs into the sea, but the sea is never full and the water never stops running. It's just this cycle. Or how about this? The eye is never like, I've seen enough. Or the ear is never like, I've heard enough. It's just always wanting more. Verse 10 says, see, look over there. Someone says that's a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's something that's been already. We just don't remember it. And then here's the worst part. Verse 11 says, there's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to come among those who come after. Here's a Hevel thought for you. After you die, your children might remember your name, your grandchildren might, and their children won't. Most likely, most of us are going to be forgotten a mere set of decades after all of our striving in life was exerted and we went to be in the grave. We'll be forgotten, no matter how hard we worked or how hard we didn't work. Hevel. Now, you're probably bummed out at this point. You're like, gee, Pastor Adam, I tuned into church today because I was kind of hoping it'll get like encouraged and like I was already feeling down and like you're not helping me at all. Well, thankfully, it doesn't end here. But everything, he says, everything is absurd. So let's dial into that word everything. If everything is Hevel and everything is characterized by this glitch in the system, what exactly do we mean by everything? Well, we get a clue. Verse 3 says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Oh. So now we've got some geographic language being used. See, everything under the sun is Hevel. Everything under the sun is a mere striving after the wind. We hear it again in the second part after verse 12. I, the preacher, been king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my heart to seek and search out wisdom and everything that's done under heaven. And it's an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, it is Hevel and vanity. And striving after the wind. So is it every conceivable thing that is Hevel? No. And that's the point. That's the point. You see, if all you and I are living for, and all you and I are striving for, and all you and I are working for, is stuff that exists under the sun, is in the frame of this natural world, then yeah, Hevel. But Kohelet knows this. You see, there is a glitch in the system under the sun, which is why he's beckoning us, even with his cynicism and even with his pretty acidic observations about the absurdities of life, he's inviting us to look beyond the sun. You see, there is a glitch in the system, which is why we've got to get beyond the system and beyond the sun. Listen to what one commentator writes about this beckoning he's doing to get beyond the sun. Kohelet writes from concealed premises, and his book is in reality a major work of apologetic, that is, a defense of the faith. Its apparent worldliness is dictated by its aim. Kohelet is addressing the general public whose view is bounded by the horizons of this world. He meets them on their own ground and proceeds to convict them of its inherent vanity. This is further borne out by his characteristic expression, under the sun, by which he describes what the New Testament would call the world. His book is, in fact, a critique of secularism and secularized religion. Now, some of you need to really hear that critique, because you're here and you're watching this live stream because you're a Christian, or at least you think you are. But in reality, the stuff that concerns you is not the stuff beyond the sun, is not the stuff of King Jesus. You're more concerned with your career, with your body, with fulfillment, with romance, with stuff down here than you are with God and godliness, which is why your life feels like running around on a kind of a constant circularity, just hamster wheel, cul-de-sac, groundhog day, Hevel, meaninglessness. And let me say this really clearly. If that's all there is, if this world is all there is, if in the end that cold and tropic heat death I talked about earlier is all there is, then my friend, I have nothing encouraging to offer you. I have only nihilism to serve you up cold and in large quantities, because it is, in fact, meaningless and Hevel if all that exists is what can be lit by the sun. But thankfully, Kohelet knows, and we know, that that is not the way things are ultimately. So let's listen in about how we get past this glitch in the system and how we get beyond the sun and beyond mere chasing after the wind. We learned that his method of figuring this out is a journey of doing. And as we go on, we're going to find out that Qohelet has lived a life, and he's gotten a lot of stuff under his belt to tell us that he knows the vanity of work or the vanity of money or the vanity of pleasure and sex or the vanity of any of these other things. But for now, just listen to how he goes about it. He says in verse 16, or in verse 15, I've seen everything that's done under the sun. It's all vanity, striving after the wind. What's crooked can't be made straight, and what is lacking can't be counted. And I said in my heart, I've acquired wisdom, and I applied my heart to know wisdom and madness and folly, and it's all hevel, chasing and striving after the wind. Paul picks up on this in the book of Romans that we just got done doing a series on. In Romans chapter 8, verse 20, he says the creation is subjected to futility. Now, this is the very similar kind of word. Futility, absurdity, nihilism, hevel, meaninglessness, vanity. These are all the same kinds of words. They share the same like lexical range to point at this vaporous, cloudy thing that we all seem to be told by the system of this world we've got to strive for. And if we don't have this vaporous stuff, then we're not living lives that matter. But the second we get it, the second we get the body we want, or the food we want, or the house we want, or the spouse we want, or the money we want, or the pleasure we want, we find out it's not what we thought it was. It's hevel and chasing after the wind. So how do we get beyond the glitch in the system? How do we get beyond the sun? How do we stop chasing the wind? Great question. And it's a question that Jesus actually talks about. Jesus actually answers. See, Qohelet is asking a question. He's forcing us to ask the same question. If this is all there is, and this is all that it counts for, and all that really matters is like bodily health, national prominence, political ascendancy, or whatever it is that you're aimed at, if that's all there is there anything there at all? And the answer is no. But that's not all there is. You see, the glitch in the system for us isn't just a bug. It's a feature. And it's a feature that's designed to get our eyes beyond the sun, beyond the wind. And our eyes on someone who asked a very similar question. In the Gospel of Mark and also in the other Gospels, Jesus asks this. In verse 34 of chapter 8, listen to what he says. Calling out to the crowd with his disciples, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And here's where we need to listen, verse 36. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" See, what does a man gain? That's the question that we're being asked in verse 3 of chapter 1. That's the question that Qohelet has sought after by being wise and then acting like a fool. He's literally dialing his whole life, Qohelet, to 11, and going down as many trails of crazy or wisdom that he possibly can to tell us that everything that's lit by the sun is hevel. Jesus picks that theme up. Jesus was a student of the Bible. Jesus knows his scriptures, and Jesus is asking a question he knows his Jewish audience will have thought about because they would have read the words of Qohelet already. He says, yeah, what does a man gain by chasing all of these things? Nothing. But if anyone who tries to save his life by doing all of that stuff, they're going to lose it. But if anyone will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, he'll find it. What is Jesus saying? He's not saying that, he's not embracing death as some sort of weird sadist. He's not embracing pain. What is he saying? If we will stop grasping after hevel of success and body and money and pleasure and politics and will let go of the chasing after the wind, then we'll find the meaning beyond the sun. Then we'll start to have a shot at getting an eyeful of the one who stands behind the Son of God, Jesus himself. He says, look, if you're going to save your life, you can try, Live really long. Look, beat COVID-19. Eat organic. Live to 140, 160, 180. Be a billionaire, a trillionaire. Make all of the countries great again. Do all of the justice. Make all of the right choices. But death is coming at you like a freight train. And in the end, no one will remember your name. Hevel. There's a glitch in the system. But the glitch is to get us beyond the sun. Some of you watching this and listening to this message are beginning right now to wake up to the reality that you have sought to save your life by working hard, by being right, by being good, by making the grade, by earning enough. And you're starting to realize, in the end, it's Hevel. And if you're starting to realize that, then you're right here at the precipice of the moment where Jesus might actually, finally, be able to help you. See, if any man would seek to save his life, he's going to lose it. That's the glitch in the system. That's the striving after the wind. That's do everything that seems good and wise. But if that's all you do, Hevel, because it can't get you beyond the sun. To get beyond the sun, we need one who has come from beyond, behind, and above the sun, down to us, to show to us what is the meaning of life that isn't Hevel, to show to us what it means to be substantial and not vaporous, and give to us purpose beyond this natural world, the purpose for which we were made, the purpose for which we were born, and the purpose for which we must be born again. If you're a follower of Jesus listening to the sound of my voice, be wise, work hard, do all of those things, but remember that if that's all you do, you're striving after the wind, and your life will be characterized by Hevel, and in the end, no one will remember your name. But if you would begin to realize that grasping after the wind and holding on to vapor is in fact foolishness and folly, you would stop trying to seek to save your life by working harder, by being more just, by volunteering extra hours at church, by giving and doing and exercising and overfunctioning, by all of those things. If you would let them go, Jesus will rescue you, and he will give you a solid life, a substantial life. For us, the glitch in the system is a feature to get our eyes off just the things of this world and to start getting our eyes on the real, solid, meaningful one, King Jesus. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you're watching this, maybe you're feeling very, uncomfortable. I probably would be. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Yeah, I might be. Maybe you're feeling like, why in the world am I watching this guy? I understand. Or maybe you're beginning to realize, oh my gosh, he's right. Hevel, everything is Hevel, and vanity, and chasing after the wind. And if you're there, I want to invite you to trust in King Jesus, to trust in the one being, the one man who's come back from beyond the grave, who's come down from beyond the sun, whose life was not characterized by meaningless, but who gave his meaningful life for those of us who give our lives to meaninglessness, so that by faith in him, by trust in him, by turning from sin, and by being filled with the Spirit and entering into a right relationship with him, we would no longer be those who are characterized by Hevel, but rather those whose eyes are on heaven, whose feet are on solid ground, whose bodies are being remade as those like King Jesus and who are being prepared for a world to come that is more substantial and more real and more meaningful and more powerful and more glorious than anything you've ever yet imagined. If you are feeling, yeah, he's right, Kohelet has a point, and this is all meaningless, welcome to the beginning of your journey with King Jesus. Where you turn away from Hevel and by faith in him, receive the new birth, the birth that only comes from King Jesus, that fits you for the new earth and the new heaven. If you're ready to experience that, I want you to respond by letting one of us know in the chat window, clicking on the, I raise my hand to get more information and figure out what that's like. Let's pray and respond in this moment as the Holy Spirit leads us. Father, I thank you for the wounds of grace, that even finding out that living our lives for things in this world is the first step to frustration, the first step to realizing the meaninglessness of doing such a thing, so that we might be saved and put our eyes on you. Lord, body, health, money, power, romance, job, all of these things are fine and good, and you made them all. But Lord, you made them all to be connected to you, to be in relationship with you, and apart from you, it's hevel. So Lord, we turn our eyes and we turn our hearts away from striving after the wind, and we come to you, God, by faith in Jesus. Make us solid, make us substantial, and help us. Amen.